time once again for Community Forum, and we are very lucky to have with us live in the studios this morning Trace DeGarmo, Jarvis Capuchion, and Michael Kiever. And Trace DeGarmo and Michael Kiever are both with Nicholsville, residents at Nicholsville, and Jarvis Capuchion is a resident at Tent City 4, and we're going to be talking about developments at Nicholsville and Tent Cities. Trace, Jarvis, and Michael, thank you all three for coming in and spending time with us this morning.
Thank you,
Mike. And I'm from Tent City 3.
Tent City 3. It's the second time I've got that wrong. All right.
Yes, we're currently in the Shoreland Free Methodist Church in Shoreland.
Thank you. So let's begin. We've seen a week that has had a lot of media coverage about Nicholsville, this impending deadline of booting Nicholsville from its current location and, I guess, just kicking people completely out and City Council having several hearings on that this week. Tell us a bit about what is Nicholsville and what you see as the realities of the mayor and city council's proposal.
Well, Nicholsville is the homeless community's grassroots effort to provide missing pieces to the shelter equations. They have the housing programs and that, but currently all the shelter beds are full. And there's still thousands of people outdoors, so what Nicholsville and the Tent Cities do, the other self-managed shelters, is they bring the people together to manage the shelter themselves and provide for a place to be because all the other shelters are full, which is what the Tent Cities do. Until the other programs open up, the housing is there, the shelter beds are there. The Tent Cities provide a safe place for people.
Exactly. The way I found out about Nicholsville was when I suddenly became homeless, and I went online and checked it out, and there was no place else in town that would keep my family intact. And Nicholsville, you know, saved my family. And also, they kind of, I think, saved me from from a life of not accomplishing anything for my fellow man, you know, because while I was working there, I kept seeing over and over rather large families, up to like five or six children, parents, and suddenly becoming homeless and checking all over town, riding the metro, getting sent from social service to social service. And hearing every time, though, hey, you know, don't worry. If all else fails, you've got Nicholsville. You will have a safe place guaranteed for you and your children to sleep tonight. And that just brokers the question to me, why would you try to just eliminate something, you know, that that saves a family? If you could look into the father's eyes like I have personally, after, just imagine, you know, bouncing all over town with your little children on the metro, tired, disappointed. I've looked into the father's eyes and seen the fear, anger, frustration, embarrassment, and been privileged and honored, you know, to help them have a safe place to sleep at night. And I just think that, it behooves us as a society to, think about the people at the bottom of the ladder. You know, the people at the top are doing pretty good. The people at the bottom, they need help. I think that kind of defines a culture, is how you care for the ones in need the most.
So even the 10-year plan to end homelessness in King County would end their mandate was, you know, it calls for interim survival mechanisms. It calls for encampments as a viable solution to the lack of shelter and affordable housing in the city. You know, thousands of homeless people without shelter, and there's a severe lack of affordable housing. So even the 10-year plan of King County to end homelessness calls for encampments as sort of like interim survival mechanism to address that situation. So that's why encampments are needed. because of the severe lack of shelter and affordable housing, and it does serve a purpose. And for the most part, encampments are the last resort for a lot of people. You know, shelters are full, you know, and like I said, people have nowhere to go, literally. You know, you hear stories after stories of people that just, when they come to our doors and when they come to us, they're just looking for a safe place to be. And that's really, it's sad that that's so scarce. People have nowhere to be that they're going to be safe. And oftentimes when for Tent City 3 and Nicholsville, we are their last resorts. And I've said this somewhere else that, you know, Tent City 3 operates under, religious ordinance, for encampments on religious, institutions. So we have 100 capacity. We're not allowed to go above 100. Although the church may challenge that, but, you know, because it seems like it's really, if the church wishes to, we can. But we have agreed with the host that we have that we can, you know, we'll take up to 100 people. But Nicholsville doesn't have that limit. So oftentimes, you know, Nicholsville becomes the safety net. If all else fails, there is Nicholsville. But, lately with what the city government is doing, you know, they're trying to take away that safety net, basically, is what they're doing. You know, they've passed two ordinances. They passed one basically to approve $500,000, basically, and its intent is to scatter the Nicholsville community. And two, they're trying to pass an encampment ordinance, which in the beginning, the intent was to create more opportunities for other groups and other organizations and private parties to be able to operate encampment to make it easier for everybody else and not solely leave the burden of providing for homeless and the poor to religious institutions. Well, that was the idea, but that's not what they have accomplished. This ordinance just started from being bad, and it just keeps getting worse and worse. With the recent amendments that they made, it's just going to make this, operating encampments by private properties and private organizations just going to be really, really hard, to accomplish. And then so it does no good, and it's very regressive in its nature. Chair Wheels Tent City 3 has been operating for over a decade now, and we have not harmed anyone in our operations. We've been very successful. We've broken down a lot of stereotypes about homeless people, have this legislation redlining encampments from residential zones, it really doesn't make any sense. It just plays on the fears of and phobias of homeless people, which really there is no basis for.
The 10-year plan, when that was originally engineered, as Jarvis said, the people who wrote it knew that they couldn't create enough shelter beds. So they allowed for the tent cities for that overflow, because as people move through the program, then there's openings, they can move them on. Well, on that 10-year plan at this point, they only, for this area, they had slated to have 10,000 units of affordable housing. Well, they've only built 5,000 units. Now, the affordable housing they did have, instead of waiting until it had units to replace it, they went ahead and raised that first. So now we have this severe, intentionally made lack of affordable housing. You know, we got, 1 or 2 years left on the 10-year plan, not halfway to the goal. Now, homelessness was up by 25% according to that last one-night count. And so for the city council to turn around and throw away a piece of the 10-year plan like that I don't understand the reasoning behind that, because it would seem to me that if you're getting federal dollars to shelter people, instead of using $500,000 of that to close shelter, you should be trying to create more shelter.
Mike, I'd like to point out, you know, that Americans, you know, we have a long, strong tradition of doing for ourselves and not relying on government more than is, you know, necessary. And well, you know, that's what Nicholsville is. You know, it's just people who, for whatever reason, are in a situation. You know, housing is a pretty critical issue. You need shelter and you need safety. I know a very honorable man, David Ballinger. Maybe a lot of people remember this, but he was a great man. He was a very well-liked man. He was a homeless person, but he was a very honorable person and very well-liked in the U District. And he was murdered while sleeping under the Ravenna Bridge by some young teenage neo-Nazis. He was murdered simply for being homeless, as per neo-Nazi theology that these youngsters were trying to get into. So, you know, the threat is real. And the situation is real. You know, in a city the size of Seattle, I don't care what you do, there's going to be things that happen. There's going to be families that, for whatever reason, suddenly become homeless. Not all of them have relatives that will take them in. It's just going to happen. There are going to be good, wonderful families that just suddenly have nowhere to live. I've seen it. I've seen it on a daily basis at Nicholsville, and we are honored to get out of bed in the middle of the night. We have 24-hour admissions, and we have a never-full policy. There is nothing else like that. That is the description of a true safety net. If you're a trapeze artist, would you want a safety net with 20-foot holes that you and your whole trapeze gang could just fall right through? Nicholsville is a true safety net. The city offers little partial nets, and there's great for the ones who manage to grab a hold of them. But for the ones who don't and fall right past it, there's always Nicholsville. And when you're getting bounced around from agency to agency, they will tell you, you know, when and if all else fails, you've got Nicholsville. Thank God. You do have a safe place for your family. At least I'll be able to sleep tonight knowing that you've got a safe place. I just think it's a little hard to explain a decision to spend $500,000 of hard-working people's tax money to disband something that actually works better than anything else being offered. You know, even though we're roughing it, we're sleeping in tents, we're not having a party out there. But you know what? We've got a sense of community. We've got people pulling together, helping each other, transforming lives. People are changing on a daily basis out there. Nicholsville provides a great service to the city of Seattle, and a lot of people do recognize that. But there is a segment, you know, around that just seems dogmatically wedded to a posture of animosity towards Nicholsville or homelessness in general. I don't know. It's a little hard to understand sometimes because I've always thought people were supposed to love each other and help each other, not try to hurt each other. And let me tell you something. If you're a father or a mother and you've got some little kids and you don't know where the heck you're going to sleep tonight and be safe with your children, I think that's an issue. I think that's a real issue. I think if this whole Nicholsville and all would be worth it if they only saved one family from that fate. We've saved at least 500, if not 1,000, over the last 4 years from that fate. And to reward that, and we've done it for nothing, not for money. We've done it just because that's the way we would have them do to us. That's what we would want. If my children were homeless, I would want someone to help me too. And so that's what we're doing.
Well, so I think the fundamental problem here is I think our city leaders fail to really recognize the unmet need in Seattle and King County. You know, thousands of homeless people and severe lack of shelters. They think that encampments, the reason they, you know, they oppose encampments is they keep saying that it's substandard living. Well, you know, it's still better than a cardboard box. Given that's the only alternative, you know, people don't realize our choice is limited to tents or a cardboard box. or an alcove or an alleyway. And people would rather be safe in a community than isolated out there when they could be subjected to other dangers, you know. And the, you know, without shelter, people die. I think our city leaders really fail to grasp that concept that people need safety, and encampments provide that safety and survival. And really, they should be supporting what homeless people are doing in organizing and providing for that safety and survival that they need, that the city cannot provide. That's what they should be doing. And that's when we mean we support our efforts. We're doing this ourselves to provide for our own safety needs, but you guys are not helping. You're just making it worse for us.
No. Yeah. Though at Nicholsville, we do have a plan and vision for the future. September 1st is not a closing date. It's a moving date. You know, the city council can tell themselves wherever they want that their $500,000 is going to close Nicholsville. And the last time they tried something like this, that's what they told themselves. But the last time they did this, Nicholsville came back and ended up bigger. And so now they're doing the same thing, and we're just going to be moving. Now, if we have the sites available by the 1st of September, you know, we won't be there, and Food Lifeline can just transition into the property smoothly. But with the city, you know, putting out there they're closing us, that makes it kind of hard for people to for us to negotiate with people for new sites. So if we don't have a new site, we will still be there come September 1st. And we've made some partners, as in the SAFE organization and others, and they'll join us there. And our supporters up in West Seattle will join us there. And if the city doesn't want to work with us on locating a new site, then they can bulldoze us out on September 2nd in front of the media.
I'd also like to point out that Nicholsville is an extremely safe place. We've never had a major crime there. And due to the way we live in plastic tarps and tents in very close proximity, were someone to be in trouble or something or be assaulted or anything, you know, they could just holler. And everyone there, basically every camper there is a security person. You know, you'd have dozens of people running to your rescue. You could come home to your brick-and-mortar house and suffer a home invasion. And they could cut the phone lines, and you could be trapped and at their mercy. We're safer than that at Nicholsville, thank God. Not that that's our goal or anything, but yeah, we want to be safe. Not that we want to be safer than everyone else, but we just want to offer a safe place where you can sleep and not be murdered, or whatever, you know, that happens when you have no shelter. I just think that, to try to shut down something that works without providing a replacement is, I think that's ill-founded policy. I think that it would behoove all of the citizens of Seattle to maybe take a little closer look at what our elected representatives are doing in our name. You know, if I really think that the majority of Seattle voters, if they saw what I saw, desperate family after desperate family coming to us and finding safety and shelter when it was to be had nowhere else in town after spending the whole day looking for it, I certainly think that I have to think that the majority of my fellow Seattleites would not stand for that. I think that people are busy in their lives and they have just, they've been misled to think that somehow just the visibility of homelessness is somehow something negative. I don't think it's negative at all. I think poor people make the world a richer place. I think having the homeless visible is awesome for the people that want to help them. They know right where they're at. And for people who need to possibly maybe reexamine some of their attitudes toward their fellow humanity, I think it's a stimulus to that. You could be driving to work one morning and happen to look over there at the homeless camp And maybe you might reevaluate an attitude on the way to work. You know, maybe we can all use this issue to grow and to become better people and to have a better life by looking out for each other.
So you have been at the public hearings this week. What is it? It just begs the question, with the 10-year plan acknowledging that tent cities are a key piece of getting people into what we perceive as regular homes. Why hasn't the city proposed using the $500,000 or a fraction of that to get a viable piece of land for Nicholsville?
Well, that goes back to the visibility issue. Like Monday, I sat in on the Culture and Human Services Committee meeting, and the Human Services Department was there giving one of their presentations, and they put this big slide up. And the thing that stood out in my mind the most is the way they were talking about the homeless people. And they weren't talking about helping homeless families. They were talking about reducing the number of visibly homeless families. So, you see, they just are trying to lay a rug over the dirt of the problem. You know, they don't even want to bother to pick up the broom and tidy up around the edges.
I'd just like to say to my fellow Seattleites, don't be embarrassed because there's a homeless camp in your city. I would be embarrassed if there wasn't. Don't ever be embarrassed for helping people who need help, even if it's not a family, even if it's a single man with substance abuse issues. He's still a human, and he still needs help. And you know what? I've watched more than one persons with substance abuse issues and very self-centered people come to Nicholsville, be asked for help, be asked to pitch in, and start to like it. Start, for the first time in their life, doing something for another person just because it's the right thing to do. You know, that's actually a life, that is actually a life, potentially a life-transforming experience. A lot of people have never done anything for anybody in their life. And, you know, I watch lives change in Nicholsville on a daily basis. I think it is a very good thing for Seattle to have.
And one thing that Nicholsville does do as a shelter that none of the other shelters do other than self-managed ones is we are open to people to come by and visit at any time to walk
Absolutely.
Through the entire camp. No notice. We allow TV cameras in. Even in amongst the living area, the only thing we ask is if somebody doesn't want to be photographed, you don't use their photograph. Other than that, we have nothing to hide. That doesn't happen down at the Union Gospel Mission. We invite people to stay overnight in the same situation as the client to see exactly what we're talking about. The one night I stayed at the Union Gospel, it was a traumatic experience, and I left covered with bedbug welts. And that was several years ago, and I vowed I would never go into another indoor shelter like that. You know, crowded together on mats inches from somebody else who's, coughing and choking, you know, because they have TB or pneumonia or what have you. I would rather be in a tent separated by feet or yards from somebody who's ill with lots of fresh air to intervene.
You know, Mike, the beauty of a self-managed democratic organization like Nicholsville is that if we have a problem or an issue, we don't have to send off to management and ask what to do. We can deal with it just like you would deal with it. If your roof leaks, you fix it. If the dog bites somebody, you take him to the doctor. Same thing with us. We have problems and we find a solution and apply the solution and keep pressing forward. Isn't that what America's about? Progress, making forward, helping each other out, not kicking families to the curb. I do not think that's what Seattle, Washington, or America is about. I believe in family values. I believe in children. I believe in caring for one another. And I see those values expressed hour by hour, minute by minute, on a daily basis at Nicholsville. And that's why I love Nicholsville. And that's why I have personally determined, you know, that if I have anything to say about it, there will always be a place in Seattle for a family or for anybody who is in a desperate situation and simply needs some safe shelter. Might not be fancy, but it will be a place where you can go to sleep with your children and at least not suffer violence in the night.
So going back to your question, Mike, you know, why they haven't done anything. You know, it's just like I said, you know, they consider tent living to be substandard and inhumane living, and they don't want to encourage that. And I think there's suffering from some sort of fallacy that people like living in tents. You know, we would all prefer permanent housing. We would all prefer, you know, a regular house, but then there is none available for us. There's not enough affordable housing. You know, there's a statistic that there actually is no shortage of housing. There's just a shortage of affordable housing. There's a lot of houses that are sitting empty, more than there are homeless people. But there's a severe lack of affordable housing, you know, people that can't afford to pay. And that's why we resort to living in substandard living. Well, the city claims that they can and should do better, but what are they waiting for? Since Nicholsville moved to that site, they've been asking for support. They've been asking the city, our city leaders, for support. They need utilities. They need police protection so they can operate better. You know, Nicholsville is a vital resource to the homeless community given the lack of shelter and affordable housing, and we cannot afford to lose that vital resource such as Nicholsville. And it's gonna take the whole community to save Nicholsville and keep that dream alive of providing for up to 1,000 homeless people that really, really needs it. So mark your calendars. You know, July 24th is the next meeting of the governing board of the Community and Homelessness in King County. Prior to that date, we were going to be doing some direct action. We need everybody, we need people to support our efforts in encouraging our leaders to do the right thing, the moral thing to do. Support homeless people in their efforts in providing their own safety and survival. September 1st is going to be a red letter date for Nicholsville, and if they have not found a place yet and the city still wants to bulldoze them, we're going to need a lot of people to stand with us and prevent this catastrophe from happening.
Okay. Unfortunately, we are out of time. I'd like to thank you all three for coming in and spending time with us today.
Thank you,
Mike.
Thank
you, sir.